Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at redrock_bball, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com, and the YouTube channel, which doesn't have a very easy to remember URL at this point, but you can click the links via Twitter, via Facebook, on the website as well, and head across and help support the new YouTube channel. Well, we are here to talk today with another season in review podcast. Going to be tackling the Chicago Bulls. Recognize that music. Obviously the Bulls are intro music. One thing I always remember about this music, which I'm going to go off into a very boring anecdote, is watching that as a kid growing up, watching the Bulls and watching the old VHS tapes of, you know, the three-peat and the championship tapes and that. And whenever the announcer would come out and talk and introduce Bill Cartwright, it would always make me and my brother laugh just talking, and just the way that he would throw out a Bill Cartwright. I'm going to give it my best impression now. It'd be like, at center, number 24, Bill Cartwright. And it always made us laugh, and forever when I hear the name Bill Cartwright, that's the way I always hear it. And that music is always associated, so I was trying not to say it over the top, and in the end I had to say Bill Cartwright in that manner. So I do apologize for that anecdote, or as they're called, slightly boring bullshit stories. Let's move on to the Chicago Bulls and talk some actual fantasy stuff now. And it's an interesting team. I say that about lots of teams, but I think this is going to be more interesting for this team heading into next season. You all know that I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, so I don't know what to expect at this point with a new coach, Fred Hoiberg, in for the season. I imagine that we'll see a bit more of an offensive output. Not that there wasn't great offense this season. There was some pretty decent offense at this, better than what we'd seen previously anyway. But it'll be interesting to see exactly how Hoiberg runs his new defense. The defense will be interesting, but the offense will be more interesting for fantasy point of view. I think the Bulls take a bit of a step back next season. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that they do take a bit of a step back under the new coach. We all know the issues that Tibbs had with management and with the front office and ownership and all that sort of stuff. Maybe we see a better Bulls in the playoffs, a more healthier Bulls team, but I don't think we see the overall output and wins that what we saw the last, you know, four or five seasons, however long that Thibodeau's been there. Let's talk Derrick Rose. We have to talk Derrick Rose, obviously. Now, Rose was disappointing for a lot of last season. He only played the 51 games. We know he had that issue with his meniscus again, and it's always very worrisome when Derrick Rose goes down with a knee injury. But he looked a bit better. I think that's the best way of putting it. Now, there were times when I was all for not owning Derrick Rose in standard leagues, and that was fair enough. But by the end of the season, he had turned things around. Like, he struggled coming back from the meniscus, but that was to be expected. His minutes were quite limited, so we see his numbers after the All-Star break of 152nd per game. That's not really accurate. Per game for the season, he was the 81st ranked player. Now, people taking him in the 20s, which is where he went in pretty much every draft, they obviously got burned, and they got burned hardcore. You shouldn't be taking Derrick Rose inside the top 50. I wouldn't think, because of this injury risk and because he's just not all that much of a fantasy-friendly player. He averaged 17.5 points. He hit 1.5 threes, 5 assists. But when he was that, you know, elite player, he was a 25-point guy, 7.7 assist player. And I just don't think he's going to get back to that level. Yeah, it's a big jump to get back to that sort of production. And that put him sort of just on the edge of the top 10. It's a long way to come back. He shot 41% from the field, a disappointing 28% from three on over five attempts a game. So could not hit threes to save his life. He was absolutely horrible. In fact, the last 2 months post All-Star break, he hit 18% of his threes. That is horrible. But there was hope. In the playoffs, he looked like almost back to good old Derrick Rose. He looked better. but there's always this injury risk, and taking him inside the top 50 is just not worth it for the output you're going to get. I don't think there should be any player in any league taking Derrick Rose inside the top 50, which is a shame because he's one of my favorite players, and to see him cut down like this is quite disappointing. Those numbers are still okay, and you know, with the way it panned out over the course of the season, he ended up being a guy who was standard league valuable, assuming you used him when he wasn't injured, of course. But that's the problem. 30 games missed. It's a big chunk of games. He might go through and play 75 next season, and that would be fantastic, but I still think even if he plays those games, we see on a per-game basis he was ranked 81st. So even if he played a big chunk of games, he's not going to be worthy of a top 50 pick. I'd be leaving him well alone. I'd be leaving him to outside the top 70 would be my guess for what I'm going to do with Derrick Rose come next season. I just don't think there's a huge amount of upside for him at this point in his career, which is unfortunate to say. Now, the Bulls, they feel like they're always on the search for a point guard. They brought Aaron Brooks in last season. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming season. They had DJ Augustin the year before, Nate Robinson the year before that, and Bulls' backup point guards always play a pretty solid role. Brooks played all 82 games, 23 minutes a game, 11.5 points. He hit 1.5 threes, over 3 assists, pretty decent free throw percentage, or very good free throw percentage, 83%. And he was a guy that 12-team league owners wanted to use down the stretch for a good chunk of the season. In fact, total value, because he played the 82 games, he was the 102nd ranked player. Per game, 167. And post-All-Star, 142. That meant that 12-team leagues had a use for him in certain situations. He was an on-roster, off-roster sort of guy for 10-team leagues, but there was a little bit of value for him, and his per-minute numbers were pretty good, or per-36 numbers. He was the 69th-ranked player. So if he was able to get those bigger numbers on a more consistent basis, there was a bit there for him, and we saw him providing that sort of value when Rose went down. Kirk Heinrich, somehow, if someone can explain this to me, I'd love to know the answer. He averaged almost 24.5 minutes a game, which is more than Brooks. He provides almost literally nothing. Now with Thibodeau out, I think it's highly doubtful that Heinrich gets anywhere near this size of a role. He was the 284th ranked player in per-game head-to-head value, averaging 5.5 points, 2 assists, less than 2 rebounds, less than a 3. 37-70 as his percentages. He's just not a good player anymore. He hasn't been a good player for quite a few years, but that didn't stop Thibodeau running him out there for an excessive amount of time. There is no fantasy value in Kirk Heinrich, even if Derrick Rose gets injured. Whoever the Bulls bring back, whether they bring back Brooks as the backup point guard, whether they draft someone with that pick at the start of the 20s, whether they bring in another sort of cheap free agent, maybe. So the guy I could see them bring is a guy like Jameer Nelson, who's potentially looking to opt out of his deal in Denver. I could see them bringing him in on a $4 or $5 million contract as that backup, as that guy who can play a little bit next to Rose as well and be somewhat of a shooter. And there is a bit of a role for guys in Chicago who play that 24 minutes and are a scorer like Brooks, like Augustin. He can be a guy that, regardless of Rose's status, has value in 14-team leagues. And then if Rose gets injured, then they jump up to become a must-own 12-team league guy. So that position, whoever fills it, it's something we need to pay attention to. They've also got Etuan Moore on the roster. I don't know, there's a lot to like about him. He is signed for one more season, though. Got $1 million contract for next season. His numbers weren't all that inspiring. 2.7 points and didn't crack over 1 in any other category. 0.8 rebounds, 0.6 assists in 9 minutes a game. He showed flashes at times, but overall, I don't think Etuan Moore's got really much of a future in this league, to be honest, and that means you don't need to pay too much attention to him from a fantasy point of view. One of the breakout players of this season was Jimmy Butler. He was the NBA's most improved player, and from where you were able to draft him, which was about 70 or 80, for him to finish as the 19th player in per-game value is obviously fantastic. Now, he dropped off a little bit in the second half of the season, had that elbow problem, ranking 35th post-All-Star break, but he was still very, very good. He played a whopping 39 minutes a game, but averaged 20 points, over a 3, almost 2 steals, almost 6 rebounds, almost 3.5 assists, 46 and 83%. I think the Bulls are going to be absolutely stupid if they let him go anywhere in restricted free agency. I really, really don't see it happening, but the Bulls have made a lot of stupid decisions in the past, so I'm not going to be completely shocked if he goes, but I really can't see it happening. Where's the right spot for him? Is it inside the top 20, as he was the 19th ranked player? Is it 35th, where he was post All-Star. I think that range in between 20 and 30 is the right spot for Jimmy Butler. I think if you just really love him and you think he's going to take another big step, you take him inside the top 20. But to me, that's probably, it's probably going a little bit hard on Butler. We saw definite a drop-off. I think we see his minutes come down next season as well, which will, you know, invariably drop his counting stats down, probably by not much, but you'll see them drop just a little bit, and that'll be enough to in my opinion, to take him outside that top 20. So I reckon taking him in even between 20 and 30, I'd like to skew towards the back end of the 20s and between that sort of 28 to 35 range, I think is probably the right spot for Butler, assuming that Hoiberg does the common sense thing and cuts him down to a more manageable 35 minutes a game. That's, you know, 4 minutes a game less. We see those other numbers come back. He's actually healthier, maybe more efficient, plays more games, doesn't wear down in the playoffs. But for fantasy leagues, that doesn't necessarily help us. And I think that we will see him drop off some degree. Not necessarily a huge amount, but enough that it will be an impact. Other shooting guards on this roster, Tony Snell. Even when he got the opportunity when Butler was out, he did not produce. He was not very good. 318th in per game value. He really lit it up in summer league, like really, really good. He had the occasional big game when he was playing for Butler, but overall his output was just, it was invisible. He hit a three a game in 20 minutes. He played 20 minutes a game. He hit one three, but 6 points, 2.5 rebounds. He's not, he gives no defensive presence, 0.4 steals, even though he's a good defender. 43 and 80 is his percentages. He was a lot better than he was in his rookie season, but I don't think he's ever going to be a real significant NBA contributor along the wings there. Hoiberg might have a completely different thought process regarding Snell and go, you know what, this guy might develop into our starter because there is potentially an opening at small forward with Mike Dunleavy being an unrestricted free agent. I don't necessarily see it happening. But he's a guy who can hit the three at a decent clip, 37% last season. So some minutes could be there for him to move into that role. I think he's more likely suited to be a backup two, backup three behind Butler and whoever has that job as the starting small forward. Let's talk Dunleavy now, who was the starter at small forward for most of the season. Played 29 minutes and he's a bit of an underrated fantasy guy. He ranked 180th per game, which is not all that great, but there were times when he was a pretty decent guy to use, especially in daily fantasy. You could sort of predict when he was going to have decent outings. Down the stretch, 139th in the last month. That's okay. He's more of a guy where you look at him for a plug and play. If you need threes and you need, you know, good free throw percentage and some decent rebound numbers, but overall he's not a mainstay in 12 team leagues. He's more a 14 team league guy. 9.4 points, but the 1.7 triples is where his value is. 4 rebounds is not a bad number as well. Over half a steal, 44 and 81%. So the percentage is not too bad, but his value obviously comes from the three-pointers. Now, we don't know where he's going to be. Is he going to be back in Chicago? Is he going to be into another situation where he is a starter? I think that his value might drop a little. I think it should drop a little bit. I don't think the Bulls are going to be that keen to get him back and playing him 29 minutes. I think they'd like to have him back at a decent price, but not necessarily playing him 29 minutes when there are guys like Snell who might cut into it. And there are guys like Doug McDermott who disappointed as a rookie. A lot of that we have to remember is that Tom Thibodeau related. Now, Thibs, I don't know which one it is, doesn't like playing rookies. Jimmy Butler barely got off the bench as a rookie. Tony Snell didn't get off the bench as a rookie. Doug McDermott played 36 games, 9 minutes a game. He had some injury concerns, scored just 3 points, hit only 32% of his threes, 40% of his field goals, didn't do much else. Not at all. 1 rebound, 0.1 steal, 0.2 assists, 0.4 three-pointers. Not a good season. But there is a hole there for the Bulls on the wing. They need a wing player. And they drafted him pretty high last season. Now, I don't know what Hoiberg thinks of him, but he does have the ability to be an offensive guy. And he has a guy, McDermott is a guy who can grab rebounds as well. He's not a bad defender. He's a pretty complete player, to be honest. Not a horrible defender, as some people make him out to be. A pretty decent defender, a much better shooter than what we saw last season. I think that there's a fair bit of sleeper value for him because that small forward position is open. We don't know if Dunleavy's coming back. Dunleavy's not the future. He's not even the present. McDermott could be the future. So I'm not saying he's going to start and play 32 minutes. I don't think we're going to see him play more than 9 minutes a game that we saw from him last season. I think he goes up into 15, 19, 20 minutes a game. He starts putting up points, you know, maybe 9 points a game, maybe 1.5 threes, maybe 4 or 5 rebounds, maybe similar numbers to Dunleavy, but I don't think he'll take 29 minutes to do it. I think he could be a real interesting piece out there helping to space the floor, allowing Butler and Rose to drive. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what they do, but he's a guy that I've really got targeted to have a significant impact or a significant increase in his impact. He ranked 452nd last season. I think we're going to see that jump by a couple of hundred spots. I wouldn't be shocked to see him inside the top 250 next season. And when you're talking deep leagues, that can be a big, big difference. Before we move on to the big men, let's talk about someone who is a big man but played a little bit at small forward. He's not a big man, he's a big man. Before we move on to the power forward exclusive guys, Nikola Mirotic played some small forward last season. So let's class him in this section, even though he's not really a small forward. And we did have a question come back from Barry Baker, the podcast question maker, at Barry Baker 8664. What kind of stats are you expecting from Mirotic? Points per game, rebounds, assists. Thanks, Josh. Well, a lot of this hinges on what I want the Bulls to do, not what I think they're going to do. What I want them to do. I think they need to trade someone. Gasol, Noah, Gibson. One of those guys needs to go. Mirotic needs minutes. Nikola Mirotic as a rookie was the 85th ranked player in Roto Leagues last season. 85th. He played only 20 minutes a game. He played all 82 games. 10 points, 1.2 threes, almost 5 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 0.6 blocks. 41 and 80 is his percentages. He was very good. And whenever someone went down, whether it was Gibson, whether it was Noah, whether it was Gasol, and Mirotic played 30 minutes, he was an animal. He was a top 20, a top 30 type fantasy player. If one of those guys goes permanently and he gets 28 minutes off the bench, we could see a guy averaging 15 points, 7 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 1.5 threes. And that's not out of consideration at all. He could be a guy that starts and plays 32 minutes and just puts up bonkers numbers. He has 17 points, 1.5 threes, 8 rebounds. He can do a lot of things on the basketball court. He's one of my favorite players now in the league, and I think that the future for him is extremely bright. Good luck getting him in a dynasty league if someone owns him, because everyone thinks that his future is really bright. So I think that it's going to be real hard to get him. Post All-Star break in head-to-head leagues, he was the 70th ranked player. Again, 70th. That's big for a rookie under Tom Thibodeau to be ranked that highly. And he did it playing just 26 minutes a game. 16 points, 1.7 threes, 6.3 rebounds, 0.9 steals, 0.9 blocks. He's almost a lock to be a triple one if he gets 30 minutes a game. He's a great free throw shooter. The sky is literally the limit for this. No, that's not the right use of the word. Literally, the sky is the limit for this guy. He can go very, very high. And if he's playing 30 to 34 minutes a game, which is not an easy thing to do in Chicago based on the other talent that's there, He's a top 50 guy. I've got no doubt about that. But he needs that pathway to open up. Now, it's going to come in probably 3 years when Gasol maybe retires, when Noah retires, when Gibson is out of there. Next year, he could be stuck as that fourth guy. I think one big has to move. I think someone has to move on this team. You can't let a guy like this sort of sit unless they just go, okay, Mirotic, you're getting 30 minutes. Noah, you're getting 24. Gibson, you're getting 18 minutes, which is something they could possibly do because Noah looks completely run down. Gibson just has a very limited ceiling. They could trade Gasol. Who knows what? Gasol's on a very friendly contract. They could move him. The sky is very, very much the limit for Mirotic. He can go huge. We saw him go huge last season. I'm very, very excited for him. As a Chicago Bulls fan and as a beard wearer, it's great to see him out there. Let's talk these other power forwards. Let's talk Pau Gasol, who was along with Jimmy Butler, one of the biggest surprises of the season. Played 34 minutes a game, which is probably more than we thought he would do with these other players around, thanks to Thibodeau. 18.5 points, almost 12 rebounds, 2.5 assists, almost 2 blocks, 49 and 80%. He was the 8th overall player in head-to-head leagues. Total value, 11th in per game. No one could have possibly anticipated that considering where he was drafted, around the 50s or 60s. He dropped off a little bit at the end of the season, 19th in post-All-Star break ranking, but that's not a big drop-off. We did have a question come in from Greg Taves at Taves Sol. Do you think the power of this year comes back, or is it closer to an end-of-run Lakers Gasol? I don't think it's End of Run Lakers Gasol. Even though End of Run Lakers Gasol was a lot better than people realize, he was still putting up pretty good numbers. But I don't think it's realistic to expect him to play 34 minutes again next season. Again, it's going to be like that Jimmy Butler situation with a new coach. I don't think they're going to run those guys out there so many minutes. Even though he ranked 11th per game, not taking him inside the top 12, not a first rounder, probably not taking him inside the second round, to be honest. I think he fits somewhere in that, you know, there's probably a group of 50 guys I could take between 20 and 30. That's sort of where he's going to fit. I'm happy taking him around that, anywhere from, say, 22 to 23 onwards. I think that's probably a decent spot. In fact, I'd probably even go a bit lower. I think probably 28 to 40 is a good range for Gasol, because I just do think that the minutes are going to drop. And if they come back to 31 or 32, you're going to see it drop down. And hopefully you see Mirotic's numbers rise, because I think that's the way the Bulls have to run. Gasol's obviously not the long-term future. He's definitely part of the short-term plan here. He's not a long-term piece, though. And I think that they'll want to try and manage his minutes a bit better than what Thibodeau did. But he was literally superb. Him and Jimmy Butler were clearly the Bulls' best players last season, and both of them were real fantasy bargains that no way you could have anticipated the sort of impact that they would have. Cameron Bairstow, a second-round rookie, didn't do much at all. Played 4 minutes a game, 18 games, averaged 0.6 points. With so many other power forwards around, he's going to need at least two of these guys to disappear before he has any sort of impact. I don't even think there's any point in really targeting him in dynasty formats. Taj Gibson, a guy who gets overrated at times, I think. He's limited. Played 27 minutes a game. Per game value, it was 131. That's, if Mirotić played that, he'd be a top 50 guy. Gibson just, look, he's great defensively, but doesn't necessarily translate for our fantasy purposes. 10.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.2 blocks, 50 and 72 is his percentages. Doesn't hit threes, doesn't pass the ball. His steals are pretty poor, not a good free throw shooter. There's just limited upside. He's very old considering his experience in the league. He came out as a senior from USC, so he's a lot older than you think. Again, depending on what they do, if he starts for a team and plays 32 minutes, then yeah, 12-team leagues definitely want a piece of Taj Gibson, maybe even the back end of 10-team leagues. But if he went to another team and said, yeah, we've traded for Taj Gibson, he's now our starter, I'm not going, yes, Taj Gibson, I'm picking him inside the top 70. It's just not happening. I might pick him around about pick 100, but I just don't get that excited for him. I'm more likely to go, yes, Taj Gibson's out of town, I'm taking Nikola Mirotić at 60. That's more the way I'd look at it, because I think that Gibson's ability is as good as he is and as grateful as what I am for what he does for Chicago. His fantasy value is just not that exciting. That moves us on to Joakim Noah. Like Derrick Rose, a guy that was picked in the 20s or 30s and was disappointing. He was the 87th ranked player per game and just couldn't get it done. He still averaged 4.6 assists a game, but this is down from a guy who was like an over 6 assist game guy in the second half of last season. And that was always going to happen. With Rose coming back, the offense was going to change. It was going to run more through Rose and not through Noah. And a lot of his assists to boost that number came in that second half of the season when Rose was out, boosting his numbers. He played just 31 minutes a game, 7.2 points, which is not very good, 9.6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 1.1 blocks, 45 and 60, so no help in any percentages. He looked to be on the downslope of his career. Which one is it? Is he a top 30 guy that we saw last year? Is he the 87th ranked player we saw this year? He's a lot closer to 87 than 30. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And I think he's a guy that you take anywhere between that 65 to 90 sort of range, because we could, again, see somewhat of a slide from him next year. They might play Power more at the 5, play Mirotić at the 4, and have Noah down in a 26, 27 minute a game role, providing defense, providing hustle, providing spark, because his body just doesn't seem to be able to do it full time for big chunks of the season, with 2013-14 being one of the only seasons he'd been reasonably healthy. He was not right this year. Look, he played 67 games, so just missing 15. But even though he played that many games, he wasn't right. You could tell that he was laboring a lot of the time. And it's only going to get worse for me with Joakim Noah. So if you hold him in a dynasty league, I'd be trying to get some sort of value back for him. If you can get a top 100 player back in exchange for him, I think that'll be pretty decent. Because in 2 years' time, I think he's outside the top 150. I would not be shocked if that came even towards the end of next season. I think there's a bit of a downslope happening for Taj Gibson. Not Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah. All right, that does it for the Chicago Bulls. As always, remember to check out the YouTube channel. Depending on when you're listening to this, I am doing a Twitter mock draft at the moment with the Twitter followers. Everyone's grabbed one team. We're getting through that as I speak here. And once it's all done, I'll have it written up on the website with our comments from all the guys who made their pick. So you can check out that mock draft when it's done. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and on Stitcher and leave that review. You know how much it would really help the podcast, and I would appreciate it immensely if you could go and do that for me. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.